Good day, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Law of Attraction, New Manifestation. For this episode, you know what day it is. It's Sunday. That means it's time for our Zen stream. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. Hey there, listener. I hope the content on this podcast helps you in your spiritual practice and that it provides inspiration and motivation for you today. You know, I make next to nothing on this podcast, financially speaking, although there are other rewards that I receive and find extremely valuable. If you're able and willing, consider offering a small monetary donation every month. You can do as little as a dollar per month or as much as $10 per month. This would be much appreciated and very supportive. I really do appreciate you taking the time to listen. If you are interested in becoming a supporter, just look for a link in the description of the podcast. You'll find it there. Click that link and sign up to become a supporter today. Thanks again. All right, everyone. Zen stream on Sundays. I always look forward to this so much, and I hope you do as well. For those of you tuning in for the first time, you might be wondering what Zen has to do with Law of Attraction. And to put this very briefly, we all have seeds of desire. That's what I call desire, is basically seeds that we plant and we hope grow into great, big, beautiful trees of manifestation. And we water these seeds with our Law of Attraction techniques, you know, affirmations, visualizing, maybe 5x55, acting as if, scripting, whatever you use. So what we're doing is we're watering these seeds of desire, hoping that they grow into our new reality. And I find that it is equally important to have certain practices in our lives that take care of the soil in which we plant these seeds. That is our vibrational environment, our overall vibration, our natural state of being. That means our natural state of thinking, feeling, and behaving. And for me personally, I have found that the wisdom that comes out of Zen, Buddhism, and Taoism, like my Tuesday Taoism series, really, really does amazing things for that soil. So if you have wonderful seeds of desire and you have amazing Law of Attraction techniques and things seem to not be manifesting for you, you may want to look into this other aspect, which is basically your environment, your vibrational environment, okay? So in that spirit, I offer knowledge and wisdom that comes out of Zen and Taoism. Although these two schools of thought, I call them, are often presented as religions. That's not really the case. In both of these, there's no real deity, no real God. It's more a philosophy for living a different type of perception of our reality. And I find that it just fits amazingly well with a lot of concepts from Law of Attraction, concepts like source, concepts like manifesting, and how we perceive our reality. So in that spirit, I'm going to go ahead and get into this, our Zen stream. I've been reading for the Zen stream from this really nice book. It's a book of meditations written by Thich Nhat Hanh. He's a pretty well-known Vietnamese Zen Buddhist. He's still alive, actually. He had a stroke a few years back, and apparently he lost the ability to speak, which is interesting. I don't want to get into that right now, but he just put out some amazing books, and this book is no exception. It's called Your True Home, and it's just filled with a bunch of meditations, short meditations. So I'll read one to you and then discuss it a little bit. I hope you enjoy this a lot. And this particular one seems to be discussing relationships, so I think it should be interesting topic to get into. So I'm going to go ahead and read it and talk about it a little bit, okay? So this is called When You Argue with the One You Love. When you get into an argument with someone you love, Please close your eyes and visualize yourself 300 years from now. When you open your eyes, you will only want to take each other in your arms and acknowledge how precious each of you is. The teaching of impermanence helps us appreciate fully what is there, without attachment or forgetfulness. That's the end right there. Very short, very brief. Now, I read this morning, and I wanted to share some things with you that a little bit is personal, and a little bit is just from my experience working as a psychotherapist for close to 15 years now. And you could imagine in those years how many times I've heard people talk about someone they're angry with, a loved one, and how they haven't spoken for, you know, X number of years, 5 years, 10 years, sometimes 20, 30 years, just from this very, very hardened type of resentment. And there's a couple of things coming out of this very, very short chapter that I think are just very profound and important to notice, to pay attention to. So one issue, let me start with the more kind of philosophical point, and then I'll get more into the emotional point. So the more philosophical point is, he mentions here in the last sentence, the teaching of impermanence helps us appreciate fully what is there without attachment or forgetfulness. Now, something that often I think comes up in people's minds when they hear about Zen, they get this idea that it's, how do I put this? there's a lot of things in Zen philosophy that sound similar to nihilism, right? The idea that nothing has any meaning and it's all just random quantum bits of information, and what's the point of anything because it's all just an illusion, and you know, that vibe. And Zen also presents this perspective of how we are creating our reality out of basically nothingness. It's all empty, or using more modern scientific terms, you know, quantum theory, is that it's just a bunch of quantum bits of information or quantum waves. And we are, as these waves interact with our five senses, we are creating a story, a reality out of it. Now, while these two seem to have these things in common, there are some very profound differences. Now, the most important difference, I'm going to go right for the jugular here because I want to get to the other part of this, was the relationships and the more emotional side to this. But the difference between these two is that Buddhism looks at manifestations, looks basically at, for lack of a better word, our creation out of this quantum soup, as I like to call it. It treats each of these manifestations as precious. It treats each one as a creation of this amazing universe. And so that is where they're drastically different, is that as manifestations appear from a Buddhist perspective, we must honor each and every appearance, and we must not take them for granted, okay? And that is going to connect a little bit to what I'm going to be talking about with the more emotional side of this this little passage in this book. So that is a huge difference. So it presents almost a contradictory or a dual kind of perspective. And of course, you know how much I love to talk about duality and how it's ultimately an illusion of our perception, of our limited mind. But this apparent duality looks like this. It's like on one end we're saying, well, nothing is really permanently real, right? It's all just a series of causes and effects going back millions of years. I mean, you can't even trace it. And our current reality is nothing but a culmination of this vast tapestry of causes and effects spreading across this infinitely creative universe. And so, because nothing has any permanent reality and it's all just a series of causes and effects, then nothing really seems to be that important, right? let's be real. If you're taking that perspective, you're saying, oh, well, if nothing is permanently real, then why fret so much over it, you know? Or if something gets dissolved away, why suffer? Because ultimately it had no permanent reality. It was just a manifestation of this entire universe, right? That seems to be one perspective. But now the other perspective says, well, wait a minute, but each thing that appears is in and of itself a manifestation of source energy, right? So we have to honor it. We have to cherish it. We have to not take it for granted. We have to love it. We have to. So again, it's almost like on one hand, they're saying, love what appears, but don't get attached. And that's quite a balancing act, isn't it? It really is quite a balancing act. But I do think through the right practices, it is possible to find that balancing act. And the thing is that love and attachment are very, very different things, right? And I don't need to tell you that. I mean, that's kind of obvious. Love is about appreciating, right? Love is about allowing. Love is about surrender. Love is about feeling powerful feelings and not fighting them off or trying to get rid of them. Whereas attachment, right, clings. It's desperate. It's anxious. It's a whole different vibration. So I love, that's one of the reasons that you know, Zen and Buddhism just appeal so much to me. And guys, as I always say, you know, my intention here is not to convert anybody to any religion, okay? That is not my goal at all. I just come on here to share with you what has worked for me and what I find to be useful. So I hope that I don't give off that impression, but I'm just saying that one of the things I love about this approach is that it honors what appears and treats it with a sort of sanctity. But at the same time, it recognizes that the sanctity found within the appearance is only because it's source energy coming through a new form. So it's brilliant. It's marvelous. It's just, it fills me with this sense of awe of knowing that everything that I experience is a manifestation of source. And I love it as it appears, but at the same time, I recognize that the only reason I love it is because it's a manifestation of source. And although the forms can change, source will never leave. Source is what we are. And that balance, to find it and to rest in it, wow, just amazing. So that's the more philosophical view. So when coming back to this paragraph, again, just the last line, the teaching of impermanence helps us appreciate fully what is there without attachment or forgetfulness. Now, another word for the forgetfulness is, of course, which I've talked about before, is ignorance, right? And the way I really like ignorance that I've heard it used by some Buddhist teachers is the coming from the root word to ignore, right? Or to take for granted. So we, as manifestations appear, right? Using a little bit of law of attraction terms, but manifestations is also used very much, that word is used very much in Taoism and Buddhism. So as manifestations appear, we cherish them, we honor them, right? We do not take them for granted. We do not ignore them. We see them as a manifestation of this amazing universe. But when they dissolve away, we can still feel, there's still feelings. There's nothing wrong with feeling sad, with feeling grief, with feeling that those are normal human emotions. The suffering comes from the way that we interact with these emotions, right? So Buddha said, suffering is inevitable, right? There's always, if you're alive, if you have a body, there's going to be some pain, there's going to be some suffering. But it's in how we deal with the suffering that really creates something beyond it creates a, what's the right word? I guess I would say the pain is inevitable, the suffering is optional. And that's basically in how we react to the pain. So I want to get into now more of the emotional side of this thing. So I'm just going to pause here a quick second for a word from a sponsor, and I will be right back. All right, you all, I'm back. Thank you for your patience. Wow, this podcast episode is getting a little long. I didn't mean to go that far into the first topic that I wanted to address. But hey, just bear with me here. I want to now get into where we started in this paragraph, where he says, when you get into an argument with someone, when you get into an argument with someone you love, please close your eyes and visualize yourself 300 years from now. When you open your eyes, you will only want to take each other in your arms and acknowledge how precious each of you is. And that, of course, is one manifestation of what I was just talking about, right, before the break, is that when you think about the fact that anything you are interacting with has only a temporary reality, it hopefully motivates you to appreciate that more. And I want to connect this here to, like I was telling you when I first started, that in my years, doing psychotherapy with many individuals, many couples, and many people who had lost family members, basically as a result of a difference of opinion or an argument, I would often hit them with this question, and I hate to sound a little morbid here, but it's such an important question to ask, And I would ask them, if this person that you're no longer speaking to, if he or she were to die tomorrow, would you be okay with never speaking to them again? And this would bring up some interesting conversation. Because most of the time, the answer would be no, I wouldn't be okay. And this really, I often think, and I realize this may sound a little weird, but I often think when I am, having disagreements with family or something like that, I think to myself, I realize that if I were to lose this person, imagine the pain, the loss, the hurt, right? Especially if this happens during a time during which we're not speaking to each other, And I said I was going to bring up something a little bit personal, and this is actually something that's happened in my own family, not between me and a particular family member, but between my grandparents. I don't want to get too specific here because I don't want to invade anybody's privacy in my family, but there's a grandmother and another relative that are not on speaking terms. They haven't spoken for several years, and I remember I believe it was my mother who had said, it's so sad, the next time these two people are going to see each other is at a funeral. That's basically the only thing. And I was like, wow, that's heavy, And it's true. It's true. And it's very unfortunate. And I find that we as human beings, when we interact with one another, one of the traps we fall into very easily, which is talked about right here in this little chapter, is forgetfulness and ignorance, is ignoring, taking for granted. We really, really suffer from this greatly. And it's not just in our relationships, right? Think about how many times I know I've experienced this. You get sick and you're just in the bed, like just aching, maybe shaking. You're just feeling awful. And you think to yourself, oh man, what I would give for this to just go away. I would be so happy if this just went away. Or let's say you have a major stressor come up in your life, a financial stressor, or somebody gets ill that you care about. And you think to yourself, like, I know for me, a good example is like when my son was really young, when he was like between 6 months old and 18 months old, he got terrible fevers. And two times, he had seizures, two febrile seizures. We later found out that they're benign and they're actually common, which I had no idea. But you could imagine the terror that hit me and my wife as parents seeing this happen. And I remember thinking, oh, what I would give. I would be so happy if he's just okay. If he's just okay, I'd be so happy. But of course, what happens after the fever's gone and he's doing much better, my mind finds something else to point at and say, oh, if only this thing was better, then I would be happy, right? That's just, it's a trap. It's a mental trap. And it comes from this same issue of forgetfulness, ignorance, is not realizing, not being able, using law of attraction terms, not putting our attention on the things that are right, right? Not being grateful. Because gratitude and putting our attention on the things that are good right now actually changes our vibration, right? It changes where I started here, that soil into which you are planting your seeds of desire. So, you know, it's like an example I once used in a YouTube video. If I want to manifest my dream job, right? That's my desire. But I go to work every day miserable, hating my job, hating my boss, hating my coworkers, hating everything I do. What's happening to my vibrational environment? It's barren. It's horrible. It's dry, right? And I'm planting the seed. I'm going to manifest this amazing job. I'm going to affirm. I have this great job. I have this job I love. I love my boss. But yet I go to work every day and I'm creating, in a sense, hell in my mind. That is a very difficult place from which to manifest what you want, right? Because there's a lot of resistance, there's a lot of conflicting energy, a lot of conflicting vibration. And this is a very kind of clear-cut example, a little more extreme example, just to get the point across. But we can see how this applies to many other areas in our lives. If we're trying to manifest love, we're trying to manifest more financial success, we often are so focused on what it is that we want, and we target all our law of attraction practices on our desire. And while we do that, we ignore what's already present. And I always said, I haven't said it for a little while, is that you get to the desire of your dreams by showering the present with the rains of gratitude. That is how you do it. That's how it grows into the reality of your dreams. So it's not about looking at your current reality. I've heard some people say, oh, just ignore your present. just focus on what you want and ignore your present reality. I understand a little bit of the logic there, but I don't 100% agree with that approach. I think what we actually have to do is retrain our attention and shower the areas of our lives that maybe is a tiny little seedling. It's a tiny little seedling, but you shower that seedling with gratitude, and that is the area that is going to grow into the manifestation of your dreams. So I know this episode was a little long. Like I said, I hope that it was beneficial to you. Again, jump onto YouTube, search for Dreams Warp. In the description of all my videos, you will find a link to a free subliminal. You should go get that right away. And you'll also find links there to my Instagram, my Twitter, where I do post 1-minute motivational videos a couple times a week. You'll also find a link there to book one-on-one time with me if you want to ask questions, chit-chat, or do full-on coaching, whatever you need. Again, I want to thank you so much for listening. Really, really appreciate it. If you ever have any questions, concerns, comments, any suggestions, leave it in as a comment under any one of my videos on YouTube. It's probably the easiest way. Just put a comment, say, hey, I just heard your podcast. I have this question. I have this comment. I have this concern. I have this suggestion. I always love to interact with you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day. And I'll be back on Tuesday with Tuesday Taoism. All right. Have a good one.